free. Oh, Lord, remember me.
Remember me.
Day and long I call your name.
Live with Mark Mays out of Oklahoma. And before we take our next caller, I'm going to do something because Curtis in North Carolina told me about Ephesians 5, and I'm going to read out of the Bible about probably 18 verses because it's on point. And I will tell people, do not give up because we're going to win. Trump will win. Everybody's been after him ever since he's gotten office. But there's too many of us Christians out here supporting what's going on in this country. And I'm going to read this. This is out of Ephesians 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ hath also loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no warmonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. I like that part. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. We can't be part of them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We got to fight. Show the truth. Stand and fight. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whosoever doth maketh manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that hast sleepeth, and arise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We can't associate with these people. These days are evil. There is a fight down here between Satan, the devil, and the Creator. And these people, if you watch, they don't know what they're for. They're against our country. They're against Christians. They have no morals. This is just, they're pure evil. Anyway, Daniel, question or comment? You're in North Dakota. Hello? You there, Daniel? We still on here, or?
I hear you.
Okay, Daniel, are you there?
This is Mark.
Yes, I am, sir. Can you hear me?
Oh, here he is. Question or comment?
Yeah, so I wanted to make a comment. I wanted to talk about a dream that I had in March of 2019. And it was a dream that the whole United States was going to be in quarantine. And then that happened. But also during this dream that I had, all the cities all over the United States had fences around them. And nobody was sick, but you needed paperwork to get in and out of these cities, like special paperwork. And also, they started to take away people that were dissenters, political dissenters. And I didn't know where they took all these people. But it's a scary thing, man, when you have a dream and now you're starting to see all these things play out. And I just want to give everybody hope that beyond the darkness, that we have the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said that we are going to be persecuted for his name's sake, but that we should take hold onto our faith, and those who last until the end, those ones are going to be saved. Anyways, man, that's what I had to say.
Right on point. That's why the thing is don't give up hope, because the truth will win out, always. But we're in a fight because there's more of them. We're going to be hated for the truth. And you can see that right now. All of these news agencies and all of these big Google and Apple and Microsoft and Facebook, all these people. It's just unbelievable. And then to have the gall, I didn't listen to them. I'm not going to listen to Satan and Jezebel, Antichrist, or whatever Biden and Kamala is. I'm not going to listen to them, that their nonsense. Oh, we're the winners, yay, and everybody's, oh, my God, let's get around and bow down. And he says, well, I'm going to get around, and we're going to join the Paris Accord, and we're going to give amnesty, and I'm going to have executive orders to do everything in the world. No, you're not. You haven't won yet, Bubba. It ain't over. So that's all we can do is fight to the end, just like it says in here. We are supposed to not be partakers of them, but we're supposed to get around and prove what's on it, stay in the fight. That's what we got to do. That's what they're out to do, is to get us to surrender, make us think we can't win. We're going to win.
Yes, that's true. That's so very true, man.
Yep.
In the end, anyway, we win.
Okay, well, thanks for your call. What do you say about this, Mark?
Well, I agree. I think this election and the just overwhelming support for Trump, and then to see this election being stolen is a opportunity for us to shine the light on this whole voting system that's been fraudulent for so long. that now we have a chance if people will rise up to fix this system so that we don't go through this repeatedly.
I would agree. And if they get the, if they compare the public voter, the things that are in the public records against the people that vote, Trump wins. And that's a fact.
Exactly. I agree.
There ain't no, there is no doubt about it. It's a, it, ball game is over.
The support was just unbelievable for Trump. I mean, they had 30, 40,000 people showing up at his rallies in Michigan. They yeah. had almost 100 miles of cars lined up for Trump in Arizona,
right?
In Pima County. I mean, you, this is the overwhelming and public, I mean, just outright in the public support for Trump is unlike anything we've ever seen before. And I can't even believe that the election is supposedly that close. And I heard I've heard some commentators talk about how, you know, the whole thing with supposedly the poll showing Biden is up is to discourage Republican voters. And it also says, you know, people are like, well, why do I want to donate money to a party if they're losing, right?
Yep.
It's very subversive in the way they do that. And then you had like Fox News calling a state, I think Arizona, for Biden when there was zero precincts reporting. Now, unbelievable. Just off the chart persuasion and corruption, you know, unlike what we've ever seen before. But I think people are waking up. I really do. And mainly because Trump has unified a base of supporters like nobody else has ever done.
Right, because he wasn't out for race, color, creed, whatever. I'm going to make it better for all of everybody. We're all in this boat together, folks. That's amazing.
I think it'll come out. I don't, you know, Trump's not a dummy, and they were preparing for this. The problem is we had these Democrat political machines in these states like Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin that are controlled by Democrats.
Yes.
And so, you know, I can't wait to see what happens. Because I just can't believe we blindly, or that Trump blindly went into this election not expecting this type of fraud.
No, I can't either. And that man doesn't give you all the cards on everything. How, you no. see, I'm just amazed. How did he get so much accomplished with everybody against him?
That's a good question. I think he's got a lot of good people working for him. And I think he's had to ignore a lot of stuff. You know, just all the rhetoric that's floating out there about him, he's just kind of, you know, ignored a lot of that and just forged straight ahead to do what he, the best he could do.
I think the hand
and he's made
creator.
Just amazing strides. I mean, look at the peace deals in the Middle East, which I think is biblical.
It
and
is.
Then, you know, naming Jerusalem as the head of Israel and all these other presidents that could have done that, but they didn't do it.
That's right. And he did it. And took heat over it. Said, the hell with you.
Right.
He has an IQ of 152 to 154 somewhere. He is a way above a genius. This guy is a smart man. And the thing that he has that these politicians don't have, he has dealt in the world of business, making deals and stuff. He knows how the world works. He's got real life experience in negotiating and stuff. And these other politicians don't have a clue.
Well, you know, when, you know, Germany, if you try to import an American car into Germany, it's like a 25% tariff, but Germany was getting free imports into the United States. So as soon as Trump said, well, you know, it ought to be equal, we're going to slap a 25% tariff on German cars being imported, the automakers in Germany ran to the prime minister saying, hey, we need to drop our tariff. We need to drop this tariff on American cars so we can distribute our cars in the United States.
Right. That's
powerful.
Right.
And that's what it used to be. I mean, used to, the tariffs and duties are what financed our country, because our federal government was so small, they didn't need to, they still don't need to tax the people. You know, the personal income tax is social control, and they've written that in various books. The global elitists, even back in the 30s and 40s, were writing that the income tax is a form of social control.
Well, Davy Kidd wrote a book, and I bought the book. I have it, and I've heard it many times, that our income tax does not go to funding anything really with the government.
Would not surprise me.
But I can't prove it yet. But just like this other stuff that I'm trying to get out for people, and I got to put this into Adobe Illustrator, into pictures, because I know a lot of people, I do, if I can see something,
right,
a picture of it, it sticks. But I've done this enough that I can just put this together, because I've been, when you do the research and right. You sit, I mean, I sit for hours every day reading this stuff, logic. If this is true, well, does that is true?
Right.
And this killer, if a citizen of the United States is a qualified elector in D.C. under the plenary power of Congress, and you got no protections in the Constitution, doesn't that raise something that's rottenly wrong here, folks?
Well, that's not where I want to be. And I think that's very interesting, is you'll see people going to court. I'll say pro se litigants going into court for whatever reason. Usually the state's bringing some kind of action against them. And they start arguing about their constitutional rights, and the judge gets upset because the judge can't hear your constitutional rights because you're not in a court of law.
Right. Curtis Lyson's been dealing with that, and they won't tell him what the nature and the cause or anything. They won't talk about the Constitution in North Carolina.
Curtis
is holding tough. He said, well, wait a minute, I'm not giving up on this issue.
Right, right. Well, I think it's important before you step into a court, that one, you don't make a general appearance and just give over your jurisdiction or grant them, I should say, don't allow the court to have jurisdiction over you. But I want to show up under special appearance and say, okay, before we even talk, what are the rules of the game? What kind of court am I in? Am I in a court of common law, equity, admiralty? What kind of court am I dealing with, and does this court have jurisdiction over me?
Well, what you have to understand, here's another thing, the several states do not have to have courts of law and equity. They can blend them in one form of action. This started in New York back about 1945, by the way. They can do that, but the federal courts, the courts within the several states, are mandated. They adopted the English common law. They are mandated to do law and equity. So say in Oklahoma, they blend it together. When it goes to a real district court of the United States, it has to be either a equity or law. Can't be both.
Right.
It has to be separated. But in Oklahoma, they can blend it because they are not bound by that. And let me ask you another question, and you probably have never even checked this. Most people haven't. Do you have external amendments to your Constitution of Oklahoma?
I don't know.
I will bet you a dollar to a donut you don't, because in Alaska, they call it a Constitution. We have all types of amendments. There's no external amendments because it's not an organic Constitution. Organic constitutions, like the Constitution of the United States, have to have external amendments. A constitution for a municipal entity does not have. It's rewritten every year internally and redid. And I'll bet you that yours is like that. My Alaska's is like that. There are no external amendments at all. They rewrite the damn thing every year. These are major things.
I know there's some instances like in Washington State where their original constitution, I think they called it Walla Walla, by the time it supposedly made it to Washington, D.C., it was something totally different, you know. And they've got, I think there's like four or five constitutions for Washington State. And they never repealed the previous constitution. So the original constitution was never repealed. They just created another one.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And see, like Alaska, when we came in, they changed the last minute from equal footing with the other original states to the other states. And then I went into the legislative history. He said, how did they get all this crazy stuff put in there? Here's the way they did it. They put it together, and it looked, sounded really good. Then they get to the last hoo-ha, and the lawyers come in and say, well, we have some legal words that need to be changed to make it technically legal and lawful. So they went in and just changed different words all the way through it, just the words, and nobody questioned one thing. They voted, yep, sign us up.
And the people didn't get to vote on it or anything.
No, the people voted on it, but they don't know no better. They don't know this stuff.
Wow.
How come nobody has ever raised that we got three different classes for three different, for the legislature and the governor and the state and the courts? Our judges can go into the federal courts. Does that tell you something? They can go into a federal court and sub. Does that tell you who we might be?
You're telling me a state judge could go and be a substitute judge at the federal level?
At a magistrate, he sure can.
Wow.
Shocking?
Yeah, that is.
I mean, this is stuff, but you have to have Westlaw to do word searches to find this stuff, because there's no way to find it otherwise, because, I mean... There just isn't. You have to. That's what I do. Is I go in and look for certain things, and then I may find it in Amjar. I may have to do a separate search in Mertens. You ever heard of Mertens?
No, I haven't, Ralph. I haven't heard
that
of Mertens.
That is the IRS. That's the law. You'll find stuff in Mertens about the Internal Revenue Code. You will find no place else. You'll find more truth of the amazing stuff that's in there of what happens. Mertens.
And the other, first,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say the first thing that opened my eye back when Bill Benson was running around and D.V. Kidd, they were, you know, researching the 16th Amendment. Now, you know, U.S. Supreme Court said the 16th Amendment didn't create any new taxes. Didn't. But the 16th Amendment is what most people know, that the IRS says that we can tax any income, right?
Yeah,
so, but what was interesting is Bill Benson went to every state, because when they do a constitutional amendment like the 16th Amendment, there has to be a majority of the states have to pass that for it to amend the Constitution. Well, as he went around to the states and looked up their documents, their original, got it out of their archives, got certified copies. Oddly enough, there was only like two states that actually approved the 16th Amendment being added to the Constitution. But yet, Washington, D.C., they when the vote showed up there, they magically changed, kind of like from Trump to Biden. So yep. When the states sent in their votes to Washington, D.C., then all of a sudden, hey, all these states approved of this 16th Amendment when it never happened.
Yep. And see what the amazing part is, though, it didn't make any difference. Back in a minute.
No, that's, yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you, Ralph.
Back in a minute. Break here or not?
Well, that's a good question.
I guess not. I thought I heard music.
I did hear a little bit of music going there, but it's all subterfuge. The whole 16th Amendment and was never enacted into law and blah, blah, blah. That's just it's a distraction. It's a total distraction.
Well, how I found this stuff is you go to any federal court, any United States District Court, which is a statutory court that has no judicial power of the United States, and they print it. And I got the cases to even back it up. But it's plain English. Plain English, because it's statutory. It says judicial power of a district court. A district court is not a government. Judicial power is only exercised by a government. Period.
Right. Right.
And they say it's by the court and under the control of Congress. So then I went back. I said, why are all of these real party of interest United States of America? Because up to 1913, the real party of interest, if the government of the United States, has got to be who? United States, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
In 1913, it changed. It took them 3 years. It went from United States, the real party of interest as plaintiffs, to United States of America. And that's what every case today that in these United States District Court is United States of America, not United States. And I tracked it back to 1913.
Yeah, that seems like, you know, with the Federal Reserve being enacted and everything, to me, that's like really the big kind of final overthrow of the United States.
Well, I can tell you how they did it. They printed again. See, I love confession. I really do. Because I found a court case called Adams versus Clinton. And in that, they talk about the 1913 17th Amendment. They granted the people of each state, rather than the legislature, the right to sue, to choose senators. What's wrong with that statement? Because the House of Representatives, Article 1, Section 2, says, House of Representatives shall be composed of members chosen every second year by the people of the several states. They left out the word several. So it's each state. Well, then they define state. This is in the National Voter Registration Act. I haven't tracked back how far, but in 1993, state means, quote, state of the United States, which means you're a municipal entity under the United States, state is subservient to the United States, and the District of Columbia. That's the definition of a state under the National Voter Registration Act, and it doesn't take much logic to figure out that if the District of Columbia is in there, it sure as the living heck can't be the several states, can it?
No, it can't.
That's who the elections are for, the D.C., District of Columbia, and a state of the United States. And it says only for federal offices, and they print this stuff. Every state has adopted it. Every one of these states, every one of them. What's that tell you? How can the District of Columbia be have elections the same as the state of the United States of Oklahoma?
They can't.
They are. They're doing it. They've been
under
doing
color
it.
Of law.
They've been doing it since before 1993.
It's amazing.
Because nobody finds this stuff and nobody wants to talk about it.
Well, they're too busy learning about their social justice.
Do you know what social justice is?
What's that?
Identity politics. There is no such thing.
Yes.
Identity politics means I like cats, and if you like dogs, you're a racist.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's just another way to divide and conquer.
It is, and I hate America. And if you love America, you're a racist.
I guess we're all racist then.
In Virginia, a Supreme Court case said there is no such thing as social justice in the law. Because it can't be. It isn't what I want. It isn't what you want. That's why we have a constitution and we have what? The Bill of Rights that applies to everybody equally, regardless of whether you like cats, dogs, or whatever. That's the purpose of the Bill of Rights. And these are to secure so that the government can't trespass on it. Except we're not doing it today.
Right.
Since 1913, they changed it. It took them 3 years. From 1913 to 1916, all of the cases went the real party of interest from United States to United States of America. That could have been.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic.
Okay, we're back. Derek in Florida, you got a question or comment?
Yeah, I got a question for Ralph. I heard you last week talk about putting when you're filling out for dependents, you put exempt. And I was wondering why that is, and what if my employer looks at me like I have two heads, and how do I respond?
Okay, let me go over the logic of it, because you're I don't know, it must have been a thing. I was just going to get into how these agencies work, and how Congress gets control of us. First of all, those type of contracts. There's an express contract, which is you and me get together and we both have something to benefit, we both sign. Okay? We have two other types. There's one called implied in law contract, which means I get around and I sign a document that you've presented me a document and I sign it saying I want to submit to you, I owe you money, but you owe me nothing. Okay? Now, that sounds pretty damn stupid, don't it?
Yes.
Okay, the other one is called an attorney in fact. And those are, this is how they get your automobiles away from you, where we do a power of attorney, and we give away the manufacturer's statement of origin, but we give away a power of attorney. So we give away all right, title, and interest to the, quote, automobile, the vehicle, and the MSO is hand-carried to DMV, and we get back something, attorney in fact, that stands as a real contract, because I get a tag. I get a registration. In Alaska, I get a certificate of title that says there may be other security interests not shown. But I got this piece of paper, and I can do anything I want, except I don't own it. Because they then can control me by all sorts of traffic regulations and whatever. And I'm not saying all traffic stuff is bad. That's not what I'm saying. But it's a means to get total control over me. So I have no right to travel. And these people that are fighting right to travel, you got to get to the bottom line. It's their damn vehicle. They own it. Lock, stock, and barrel, because they have the manufacturer statement of origin. And whoever has that, it's their stuff. It's the same as a car. Now, getting back with that thing, the old W4s used to have a box 7. Said exempt, but you had to modify it because there wasn't any constitutional way out technically of being exempt to your employer. Now, somebody in the Trump agency somewhere has said, we got to make this constitutional. So what happens in the W-4 of today? They offer you what's called an implied in law contract, and they want you to sign up. This is my offer. Submit and give us permission to have your statutory employer take money out. Come on and participate in our game, please. Now, when it's constitutional, when they offer you that, that's their offer to you. Now, you have to send them back your offer to them, but you have to modify it because theirs ain't ever going to allow you out. So you get around and you put back a W-4 to them, and you have to personally write the word exempt down below 4D or 4C. It's in the instructions. You write exempt. They tell you where to put it. So now this is your offer, your implied in law, back to them. And then all you have to do is your name, Social Security number, and sign it. That's all you have to do. Now, as soon as they accept that, now you have legal standing to go to court, because if your employer takes that piece of paper and hires you or accepts it, that is your implied law contract. He has accepted your offer and he's stuck. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir, but will he?
Well, you
don't
know.
Does he have to? Or
well, first of all, you have to enlighten him to what just happened, because most of them are brain dead because they got lawyers that don't want to look at this stuff. Lawyers are dumber than rocks.
You know, the other thing you might suggest is if I was starting out with a brand new employer, I might put down like a different number, like 4 or 5. But as soon as I get hired, I can always correct my W-4. I can always update it. So if you think that putting exempt might get you not considered for employment, then you may want to change that. But I don't know of any employer that's ever given somebody grief because they had exempt on their W-4.
Well, I have somebody right now that worked for several different companies at Prudhoe Bay, and he filed that in, and he ain't heard spit from any of them. He worked for, I think, and he filed it 3 different times, and nobody said a word.
And I would cross that bridge when I, you know, if I get there, if my employer says something, you know, I would say something, well, you know, I'm exempt. I didn't have any lawful taxes to pay.
That's the, I would do it first out of the barrel, but if you need the job, you might fill the other thing. Just play the little game, and then as soon as you get there, within about a week or two, then you get around and change it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm about to start a new job this week, and I've been working 1099 for a while, and I haven't filled out the other one lately, so just thought I might give it a shot.
Well, it would be really good to get that into the record, and when the thing that you got to do is when you get it into the record, you want to get a certified copy of it so that you have evidence. Have them make a copy of it and give it back to you. And you want to keep a copy because you want to be able to prove that you did it. But okay. You have legal standing. All right. Like we have never had legal standing, and that is the root of the problem right there. Because when you modify a document That is your implied in law contract. That stands in the law. You've modified it. And that's why they made it like that. If you follow my logic.
I think so.
Well, when they print something to you, they can't legally really give you an out. Because they want you. They want you hooked. Even though they used to have a 7 exempt, that's why I had to go in and modify it. And then I send it back. We just didn't tell them we were modifying it. Now, I never had anybody ever come back and we haven't litigated it. But when I saw these new ones, I said, aha, somebody in the Trump part of the IRS had said, hey, we are going to make these W-4s constitutionally correct. They are constitutionally correct and implied in law. If you modify it and send it back to them and they accept it, they're stuck.
Gotcha.
They have no remedy.
Well, I appreciate your time. I gotta go.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Yeah, and I will just tag on to the end of that too. If my employer really asked me why I was doing exempt, I could say, well, I talked to my tax person and they said I could do that. You know, you're really not, it's really no place of an employer to be jumping into the middle of your taxes.
No, there ain't, but they do it. What they usually do, they send it off to the IRS and the IRS sends them a letter and they say, well, the IRS told us to do it. So we're just going to go ahead and take it out anyway, because they're scared of the IRS.
Yeah. What would you do in that case? What would you do? I mean, the only thing is with that, they send a letter out to the IRS, if I'm not mistaken, Ralph, and it had to be like where the IRS says that they've got to have withholdings. I mean,
okay, the withholding agent is only authorized for non-resident aliens, foreign corporations, and foreign organizations. That's it. That's in 7701A16. That's the law. Withholding agent.
I don't have that form in front of me, but one of the questions is like, if you didn't owe any taxes the previous year and you're not expecting to owe any taxes for this year, then you could put exempt down.
That's right.
So I don't know how the IRS would come in and be able to tell an employer to ahead and withhold.
They can't. And we got to have some people that are willing to do it, and I'll help you. And what's our remedy? Well, we got a couple. How about, and that's when I bought a roll of stamps and I bought 500 envelopes, because I'm going to start sending off these to these damn senators and representatives. I finally got the area director for Alaska. It's out to California, and I've got a couple other ones out of Texas and those to put letters together. Number one, you send to the area director and say, look, you got 6 months. Here's the regulations. Tell me how this meets the force and effect of law. And I have debunked the formal and the informal, and there's no regulation has the force and effect of law, ever. And this is what I was going to get into while I was thinking here over the break. If we have citizens of the United States, the question is, who has the political power? Do you know where the political power is? Somebody's got to have it. You know where it is?
No, I don't.
United States of America is a sovereign body politic, and I have 110 cases in court with names. Do you know who United States of America is? Congress.
Okay.
Yeah, I got 110 cases documented. I got to put it into the public record with the names of the courts, the court cases, and the parties, and they are rubbing our noses in it. Somebody's got to have political power, right? The citizens of the United States don't. So who's left? Congress. And they print this shit. And then they go into these United States district courts where they're in total control of the court and the judge works for them. And they print it. They print this stuff. That's shocking, isn't it?
It is. It is.
So now the question, next question of logic becomes, if a citizen of the United States plenary power is in Congress, how do they control us? Because you're not a qualified elector. I'm not a qualified elector as a citizen of the United States, and they can't legislate over us. So how do they do it? I know what they do. They create agencies. Yeah, agencies. So anything that you get prosecuted for under that, quote, government of the United States, actually United States of America, or this agencies, FAA, FCC, ATF, whatever, drugs, it don't make any difference.
Oh, wow.
They have to use regulations because they can't attach to us directly. They put statutes out, but they don't go anywhere because they can't. So they created agencies. And to give us the illusion, the agency then says, oh, well, we can regulate citizens of the United States, but we can only do it with substantive legislative rules. It's called a first effect of law or the color of law, Chrysler v. Brown. And it said, guess what? You got to have a substantive or a legislative rule. Well, what the hell does that mean? What that means is they have to put a proposed rule out. They have to say we're doing the formal process, 5 USC 553B. It's B, C, and D, but B has to be there, mandatory. Do you know how many of those I've seen? None. So they don't ever do formal. Nobody. Okay, so how did they get around it? Now, they've done a couple. I stumbled across them the other day of some obscure agency, something where they say, we don't even have to follow the Administrative Procedures Act of 1946. You just agency, just go ahead and do it and it works. But nobody's ever taken it to court. Okay. So now the other is called the informal. And the informal, they have to do a proposed rule. They have to do a formal rule. They got to wait 30 days. Then Congress has got 6 months to say, hey, did you guys screw these people good or not? This is the way it works. So what they do is they will put in the proposed rule one of two things. Actually, there's three options. They don't say a damn word, or they will say we're not doing 553B, or they say, well, it's not in the public interest, and I forget the other two. I'll look them up here in a minute if I have time, depending on what time it is here. But guess what? Congress said in their Senate report, you must, if you say it's not in the public interest or we don't have time to do it, you know, that's their excuse, you must state in the Federal Register the emergency that requires you to do that, gives you the authority. Do you know what's missing?
The emergency?
There's never an emergency. So therefore, the informal is debunked, and I got it in the reply brief for Moonies. I found this Senate report. I sat down and it's all lined out. I mean, you know, it really helps to have it all lined out how it's supposed to work. And then you can go look up the court cases and say, well, I'll be damned. They're lying to us. So there's no formal and there's no informal. So that means your regulations are smoke. And what they cover them under is they call them interpretive regs, which is BS. Can't think of the other word. It's called implementing regulations, and that's an interpretive reg. And the Supreme Court has said the interpretive regs are smoke and mirrors. They don't have any legal application to anybody. It's for their internal use only. And now we have with the IRS, you can debunk a whole bunch of the regulations that's required. The assessment regulations, the notice of deficiency regulations, the notice of federal tax liens. Guess what? They're all part 301 regulations under 5 USC 301. And the court has said over and over, part 301 are housekeeping regulations. They don't got nothing to do with you or me or the fence post. That's a fact.
It's amazing. Because, you know, they sure will go into court and act like that's law.
Yeah, well, go to tax court with a 301 rig. That's a housekeeping rig for assessment or for a notice of deficiency.
And that's an administrative court as well.
Yes, it ain't even a court. It ain't even listed under courts. It's administrative. And you're bringing in a housekeeping regulation? Really? Nobody brings this up. Why the hell not? Because they don't know. How are you going to know? Lawyers won't do it.
They won't. Well, and if I'm not mistaken, Ralph, if you go into tax court, there's never, they won't let you challenge whether there's a tax, whether there really is a lawful tax against you. All they want to argue about is the amount that you owe.
Yep, back in a minute.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a seven-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendivite. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Well, we're back here. And I got to go find, there was a case down in Oklahoma or somewhere, a guy went into great detail. They brought out the subsidy regulation stuff. I got to go back and read that. That was a few years ago, and he got into it. But I looked at a case that Barrett, Justice Barrett, was into in the Seventh Circuit. And amazingly, they didn't go into this depth. She opposed it. And I haven't read the brief of how she did it. But they never went into the fact that it has no force and effect of law. It's all smoke. I just can't believe it. I mean, all of a sudden, they started off with implementing regulations, two regulations, but nobody implementing regulations is like saying, well, it kind of looks like it might be applicable, but it doesn't have no force and effect of law, but that's all right.
Well, you know, the average person, they're going to hire an attorney, and it's going to be status quo, and the attorney's going to, you know, drag your case out as long and far as they can and get as much money as they can. And so it's a slippery slope.
Well, it is, and I would highly recommend. I have an IRS list, $250 postal money order, preferably Walmart. If I had more money, I would get involved in amicus curiae and see if they would let me into some of these cases, because I have standing, and I got to redo the status with all the stuff. I just haven't had it because I'm knee deep in several cases right now, and I can't keep up. But I would do an amicus curiae. I would get in there and see if they let me in. But nobody brings this stuff up. That's what's so frustrating. And I have the Mooney case in the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. We get one more bite at the apple in bonk. It's 14,000 words and 7,000, 21,000 words and 998 pages, 998 pages of appendix. And if it's emailed to, it's all color, it's all highlighted. It totally debunks and it tells what's going on. It's unbelievable. And I've tracked it all through timeline. There's some stuff that I found out since then that I could add, but it's all there.
You know, what's interesting is that everybody gets on a rabbit trail to nowhere. And, you know, if you can get to the root of the argument, it gets summed up pretty quickly. And that's on your status.
You know, the status. And the bottom line is judicial power of the United States, Article 3, law and equity. If we don't have any constitutional courts, there are no constitutional courts in America except the Supreme Court of the United States. They don't exist because there's no elections for them. They can't exist. We're in trouble. You think?
I do. It's when you think there's no lawful courts, we're no longer a nation of law, we're an outlaw nation.
We're in the Matrix.
Yeah.
And that's
I know. I know when the Matrix come out, I sat there with my mouth open at the end. I was like, wow, it was so apparent to me. You know, a lot of people, I don't think they understood what they were really looking at and how it applied to our daily lives, but because of some of the studying that I had done and some of the mentors I've been exposed to, including you, Ralph, and Dan Metter and others, you know, it was just a shock of a movie when you realize what's going on.
I do. And the thing about a citizen of the United States, it has no soul. It has no inalienable rights from the Creator. It has no political rights. That's why they hate churches. That's why they hate Christians. Because it's the devil. It's a status. Yeah. That's all it is. And they love to eat, drink, and be merry.
Well, it looks like we need to learn how to correct our status to make sure we're on the right place, and then how to defend our status.
Yep, well, I'm going to be putting that in. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. And God willing, we will see you next Sunday. And Trump's going to win. Just hang it.
Keep the faith.
Keep the faith.
Good night, sweetheart.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's. 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN.
The Republic Broadcasting Network.